Kind of thought at some point the Bears might have a chance, but no. somebody smoked them and they woke up.
Somebody woke them up. Somebody said,
I just want to say, man, between the Cubs talk and listening to talk about the Bears losing, I'm real close to hanging up.
Why would you do that?
The Giants are going off to the Packers of Green Bay.
I'm a White Sox fan, and the Bears are terrible. It just breaks my heart. Oh, it hurts.
Yeah, the Bears are terrible.
I would think, this is what I never understood, right? As a South Side that I am, who was raised as a Cubs fan, I never understood that the rivalry between the two, because historically the Cubs have been a better franchise, but the White Sox have won World Series championships.
I mean, for me, Mike, it's not, you know, I grew up a Cubs fan and a Sox fan, but at the age of 14, I might not even, yeah, I was 13, as a matter of fact, it was before my birthday, the Cubs traded Joe Carter and Mel Hall for Rick Sutcliffe in 1984. Now, I know a lot of people are wondering why a grown man is still holding on to that. But when you're a 13-year-old boy and your favorite player is Mel Hall, not that he was the best player, but I love Mel Hall and Joe Carter. You know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was a young black kid. I like Joe Carter, Mel Hall, Leon Durham, Lee Smith, you know, the brother, you know, Andre Dawson. And when they traded two of the young ones, I was hurt. That's when I became a Cleveland Indians fan. So when people ask, when did you become an Indians fan? That's why I became an Indians fan, because they got Mel Carter. I mean, they got Mel Hall and Joe Carter. So you tear a 14 – you're right. Who give me a break. You tear a 14-year-old's favorite player away from his team, you have a chance of losing him. That's the response for me.
Well,
I don't hate the Cubs.
But
I'm not a Cubs
fan. That's why
Southsiders
would
here praying against the Cubs, but, you know.
That also becomes the inner Chicago curse that some would say, because of look how bad they gave up those great young players, right, to get a struggling Rick Sutcliffe, who all of a sudden that year pitches like that. I think it was 16-1, 19-1.
16-0 in the second half. 16-0.
And then get to the NLCS against San Diego, and all of a sudden he couldn't throw a strike.
I mean,
I said this to Jamil Hill. She responded back, no one knows the anxiety of a team that comes up short more than fans of the Chicago Cubs.
I would agree.
Nothing like it. It is nothing like it. I'm an Eagles fan, and you know that, right? And, you know, being that, you know, I still love my hometown Bears, but how you feel about, you know, Cardinals is how I felt about when Walter Payton was ready to retire and Willie Gough. I felt they broke that team up the same way he broke up the Chicago Bulls. We already know that story, how the Bears got broke up, and then I met Randall Cunningham, who was knocking off Whitney Houston. I mean, come on, Randall, and he's knocking off Whitney Houston. I was sold automatically, right? But other than Cubs fans, it would take an Eagle fan, a Cleveland fan, to know the misery. So I think all Southsiders should let this year pass and cheer us and give us some of that energy that you guys have, and don't hate on us right now. We only have five more wins to go.
Part of the animosity, and I'm sure that you guys have this, you know, out east with whatever teams you are for and against, part of it is that Cubs fans won't let Sox fans live, in the sense that there are a lot of Cubs fans that are, oh, the Sox are this and the Sox are that. Well, I'm not going to just sit there and take it. So the alternative is to bring up World Series. Again, if it was just me and you one-on-one, I'd be like, man, I hope the Cubs do good because they're still a Chicago team. But if you get me, but I'll never buy a hat, I'll never buy a shirt. No, never going to do that. But with all that said, if you get me in a public forum, I got to talk about the Cubs because I'm obligated.
See,
so I got to dog them out because I'm obligated.
You still got to put on for your city. Go ahead, Justin. What
I
are you
do.
We took over. We just Chicago just took over the DMV.
Chicago
took
over the show. I put my feet up. I said Chicago's taking over.
I apologize.
The Chicago takeover. It's kind of like how the Eagles fans took over Wrigley Field earlier this year. It just is what it is.
You didn't take over anything. Y'all were outside the building. That doesn't count for taking over the inside of the building.
That's actually not true. That's actually not true. There was a whole section of Eagles fans. A whole section. And I
Eagles
sent you the video and everything.
Eagles or Philly fans?
Eagles, Philly, same thing. You know, we're 4-4 out here. 4-4.
Yeah, you know,
look, I was sitting here thinking, if the Eagles playing Wrigley Field, just
You know what I find hard to believe? I like calling people out on the bus because, you know, there's a bunch of terrorists in Philadelphia, right? Love the Phillies. Love the Phillies. Love the Sixers. But shows no love to the Eagles and shows no love to, you know, the certain Philadelphia
team. Who are you talking about? Say the name. Who are you talking about?
His name is Filbert Bailey. That's right. He's known as Phil Bailey on Facebook, but I know his mama named him Filbert Bailey. On the Twitter, King Vaughn, that's Coach. We call him out around here. We call him out. It's a Lock It Up Friday. And gosh darn it, damn it, Darce, and the dams that go with Garnet. I don't want to talk baseball because I just got to breathe. Because two nights ago, I threw off my Sandberg jersey and screamed at the TV. It was the closest I ever came to that fat guy on YouTube. I said, mother effing god darn club, what the effing boop boop. My wife was asleep and the kids, everybody got woke up. I was so mad.
Oh, you saw the fat kid that destroyed his Xbox?
That was me with my jersey almost when we lost that second game in a row where we couldn't get no run scores. I just couldn't take it no more. I was like, you know, so I'm a relax. We're here. Let's talk football. Everybody likes to know fun league, right? The ratings are going down. And guess what, guys? They're blaming it on the protesting. Can you believe it? We get blamed for everything. But we're talking football.
Ratings will go up and let people like celebrate and wear their own cleats and stuff. If they let people have their own personalities, they'll probably go back up.
Well, the first game on the docket, of course, is the New York Giants, the Giants of New York, at the Rams. I'm sorry, well, against the Rams of Los Angeles, but they're in London, and it's the Giants are favored by 3 points in this one. It's Giants -3 against Los Angeles. And Corey, I haven't heard your voice in quite some time, so I'm gonna start with you.
Okay, I'm gonna say this. I'm still trying to figure out how Jeff Fisher has a job. You got to give him credit. This year they've looked like a much better team. So as much as I'm not a Jeff Fisher fan, you got to give him credit for what he's done. The Giants have a little trouble going on. They got a few problems in the locker room. They got it straightened out. But with all that said, I'm still going to take Giants over the Rams. I don't have a score. I'm just going to take the Giants over the Rams. I just think they're a better team. And the fact that it's going to be over in London, it does the bad team or the worst team in this occasion no favors. So I'm going to stick with the Giants for the victory this week over the Rams.
Well, I know it's been a while here, blind tag, since Corey's been a part of the Lock It Up segment of the program, but he didn't get no point spreads or nothing, Jay Chris? What's up with that?
Dude, I don't do point spreads. I don't even know how to gamble like that. So I'll do this.
I'll take
the Giants 24-17 over the Rams.
Well, that covers the spread.
Micah, I'm going to go ahead with you because you haven't been able to say much today with the Chicago takeover. So, Mike, I'm going with you next.
There's nothing wrong with the Chicago takeover. I'm rooting for Mike and his team and his Cubs to do very, very well. And I hope the fix is not in, like you said, because a certain man called Lebanon James decided to go ahead and throw off his New York Yankees hat and all of a sudden become a complete idiot.
Lebanon James.
Anyway, but I'm gonna go with the Giants. I don't like the points rate because I think the Giants are going to win by a touchdown. I think they're going to win by 7, but I'm going to take the Giants to win the game, and I'll also take the points with that one too.
Mike, what you got?
The New York Football Giants.
Okay.
Easy enough.
All right, that's just.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
Lock it up. Just for fun, I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams in this one. I really don't think they're going to win this game, but I'm going to take them to cover. How about
okay.
that?
What's the
I'll take them to cover.
Is it 3 points?
It's a three-point
game. It's a Monday game, too.
No, it's not. It's Sunday morning.
It's a London game.
London game. Yeah, London
game. I said Monday game. I'm sorry. I apologize.
London, all that's my fault for not pronouncing my words right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's that damn Southern Richmond voice.
Next so up on the dock, you got the Minnesota Vikings traveling to Philadelphia. Minnesota's -2.5 in this one. Mike, I'll start with you. Who you got?
Mike.
Michael. Pyramid.
I thought he said Michael. I thought he said that. even though the pyramid has been retired and the Knox is back. I changed names more times than P. Diddy. I'm going with Minnesota in this game. I don't think that we give up as many rushing yards as we did last week. I don't know what the game plan was from Schwartz. He hasn't really coached many defensive back game plans this year. So I'm going to think they're going to fix that. I'm still picking Minnesota because of the defense. I think it's better than our defense. However, this is why I love the media, and I love to give them the big proverbial brown finger that you have on your emoji that you can send to people. Because just a couple weeks ago, Skip Bayless and all the pundits were Wentzel this and Wentzel that and Wentz this. Now he has not such good games, and now he's coming crashing down the earth were exactly the words by him today on Undisputed. Well, Wentz is still Carson Wentz, our right guard, which to me I said we was going to have a problem with that offensive line. And now, without him being there, it shows a lot more. And so he's under pressure. He can get the ball up, but he's still very accurate, still had an okay game when he was on the field and the offense got open to do something. Wentz is just fine, but they lose this game 23-20. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it's in reverse, but that's where I'm going, Jay Chris.
Michael Richmond.
Well, I have to agree with Mike's assessment and all those pundits who are pretending as if Carson Wentz is no longer a good quarterback because of these last few games failed to realize exactly what Mike pointed out. Good quarterbacks can not be as good and not be as effective if they have nobody to block for them. So anyway, I also have to agree that Minnesota's defense is the better defense in this game, and I think that's what's really going to make the difference. So I also am going to take Minnesota, and I'm also going to take points in that as well.
Chicago, Corey.
I take Minnesota's defense over Philly's offense. With that said, I'm going to take Minnesota for the win, 21-10. I like Carson Wentz, but as Mike has heard me say for years, I don't like crowning people too early. I like Wentz's makeup. I like the intangibles that he has. But I think it's fair to point out he played the Browns, the Bears. He struggled against the Steelers. Well, as a team, they only scored, I think, 3 points.
We killed the Steelers.
I'm not thinking about the Steelers. He had a good game against the Steelers. And I'm thinking about the Bears game. He looked pretty good against the Bears.
Well,
he didn't have the numbers.
He looked good in every game this year except for last week. They won. Thank you very much. They won the game.
They won the game. And I think the kid's got a bright future. I like what he has to offer.
Are you saying that he has red hair? That's just like really? Because he has a bright future.
I think the kid has a bright future. I think he's a really good quarterback.
There it is again.
Underrated. I just know what he plays like. And I watched him a couple games in college, and I think you guys have a good quarterback on your hands. I think, you know, like you said, people don't like to look at the inner workings of a team. They don't like to look at the offensive line play. They don't like to look at the skill positions. And, honestly, the defense has to do their job to put the offense, you know, not in the worst possible positions. So I think you guys are looking good going forward. But this week I'm going to take Minnesota simply because they're one of the top defenses. And I think this will be a really good game to see where Carson Wentz is as a quarterback today. When they go up against the Vikings, we'll get a good taste of what he's about.
Hey, Corey.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Corey. Ohio State suck.
Wow, that took a lot out of you to throw shade at the number two team in the country, huh?
Absolutely.
I gotta show you that wedding cake I got. I gotta send that picture.
I'm gonna jump in and I'm going to. Once again, I'm going against the grain, and I'm actually, for the first time all year, I'm actually picking the Philadelphia Eagles to win this game. Absolutely. They come back. I think they come back home, and I think they figure it out here against the undefeated Vikings, against Sam Bradford. I think the Eagles win this game. You call me, and hey, Micah, do me a favor and lock that up for me.
You lock it up. I need an Eagle scent. Give me an Eagle scent, Micah.
If you can't get, don't worry about it. EAGLES, Eagles.
I mean, it happens. You know what I'm saying? You know what kind of system we're dealing with? We're dealing with a fantastic system that likes to do things in a very expedient way.
It is what it is. EAG LES. Go Birds. Please understand it. Next on the dockies, you got the Kansas City Chiefs at home, -6.5 against the New Orleans Saints. Corey, I'm gonna start with you.
Who's got the points on this one?
The Kansas City Chiefs got the points on. They're -6.5, so that, you know.
Okay.
They're favored in this one.
I'm gonna take the Saints to cover. The offense in New Orleans has looked pretty decent. Drew Brees has looked pretty good. I think Jamal is out again this week, so they're going to be counting on Ware and Kendrick West. I'm going to take New Orleans, and I'm going to give them 30. So I think they're going to hang 30 on KC. I'm taking New Orleans 30-21.
Micah Richmond.
All right, I also am taking New Orleans, not to win the game, though, but I do take New Orleans to cover. I think Kansas City still going to win this game, but I'm taking New Orleans to cover the points.
Knox. I think Knox might be gone. Knox might make me stand for the rest of the show today. It's all good. Yeah, Knox is gone. So I'm going to go ahead and put his up. Wait, he may have called back in. Knox, who you got in this one? You got the Chiefs or the Saints?
Come on now, this is such an easy one, but it's not. But I'm gonna make it that way. I got the Aints. I'm sorry. I just think that right now, Drew Brees is on all cylinders and quiet as kept. If this team can win a couple more games, he's the true MVP of the NFL this year. Not Ryan Prescott. Not the offensive line of the Detroit. Of the Dallas Cowboys. It is freaking hands down the guy who does it every year. You're always going to hear either Brady, Rodgers, or Drew Brees. People hate on him for whatever reason. I don't know why. All he does is put up $4,000 or $5,000 passing a year. I got the Aints.
And myself, I'm also selecting the Saints to cover in this one. I don't think they're going to beat Kansas City. And I'm kind of mad because I accidentally traded away Drew Brees in my fantasy league. So,
wow.
I wanted to do a counter offer and I hit accept. But it's all good because I still have Tom Brady and I still have Brent Roethlisberger if he comes back, so it's all good.
Oh my God!
But it's not Brady because Brady's not going to have another bye. Oh, they've already had their bye, right? Or they haven't had their bye?
No, they haven't had their bye yet.
A real league would say, you know what, I know you made a mistake. Go ahead and take it back. But, you know,
as commissioner, I've done it. People call me right away and say they made a mistake, I reverse it.
It's all good.
In that trade.
You know, sometimes it happens. So that's what happens when you try to make trades on your phone instead of the computer. You kind of mess them up. Anyway, so you got Detroit at home -1 against the Skins. Man. Wait a minute. Detroit is favored in this one?
Detroit is favored in this one. And guess what? It's my upset of the week. The NFL, the media has forgotten about the Washington Redskins. I called it from the beginning of the year. Rookie Francois comes out and says it. Now, I know that I'm prone to liking this team because I'm with them all summer long. I'm having, you know, personal conversations. I'm in the trenches in camp, but I know what I see when I see what I'm looking at. And with the exception of the guy who has all the pressure on him, Captain Kurt himself, this team is good, and this team wins inside the NFC. And everybody's picking Detroit. Now all of a sudden Detroit's the team everybody want to like. Can I remind you guys of something? It's the Detroit Lions, okay?
Yeah. They're Detroit.
Okay, and come on, man. I got Washington upset of the week. And guess what? Is it out there on the limb? Of course not. But the fact that they're handicapped, underdogs in this game, I found it very disrespectful. I took the Washington Redskins, Jay Chris. I jumped the gun. I couldn't help it. I apologize.
It's all right. Richmond, who you got?
Man, everything that Knox said is true. It's always good to have Knox back because he tells the truth. And you know what? There's something about the truth. So, with that being said,
I couldn't keep that ass just walk past either.
What? Redskins gonna win this game outright. Redskins gonna win this game outright, and that one point is an insult. The fact that Detroit is favoring this game is an insult. You know, they trying to be real funny with Detroit, trying to make it seem like they're better than they are. They're not. They're not. Sorry, they're not necessarily scrubs. Okay, they're scrubs. Sorry, I'm sorry. They live in America's toilet bowl, and then, you know, that drains down to a different part of the world where it goes to the sewer system, and it comes all from the factory of sadness. Like, come on. Come on, guys.
Corey, who you got?
Oh, I was going to side track, Corey.
I'm taking Washington. I think Washington is an underrated team. I think people just – it's easy for people to just say that they aren't good, but they're 4-2, and I think Detroit is, you know, I hate to mimic what Mike said, but it's Detroit. So even though they've won the last 2 weeks against, you know, your home team and against the Rams, I still don't put a whole lot of credence into their 3-3.
I'm sorry.
So I'm going with Washington to win outright.
I won't feel completely disrespected, okay? All right, because my home team is the Bears. Okay, that's where I graduated school from. Okay?
I thought it was the Eagles.
No,
that's where you're home, man.
My father's from Philadelphia, sir. All right.
Okay. Well, watch this.
We've had this
new home team, and he took it personal because I said, "Y'all." He took it real personal, didn't he?
Let's help it. Let's one another.
Bottom line, I'm taking Washington to win. I'm taking Washington to win outright. As Mike said, Detroit is Detroit. I think they're going to put up a good 30 plus on Detroit, because I think Detroit's offense is going to put their defense in bad positions, and I think Washington's going to capitalize. But Detroit's going to put up points too. So I'm going to go, for the sake of conversation, 35-24.
Real fast, Jay Chris, you get in there, you know, you never know when my time on this planet is over. And here's my thing about the Washington Redskins, and I don't understand why they don't get respect. They're not great at anything except for Josh Newman, right? But they're pretty damn good everywhere on that position, right? They have the greatest tight end, maybe not, but he's pretty damn good. They got the best receivers, no, but they're pretty damn good if you, you know, don't stick them. You got a great route runner. You got a great street guy goes up the field in Deshaun Jackson. They got an okay running back, right? They got an okay quarterback. They got an okay off of the line with the exception of the future Hall of Famer and Trent Williams. The defense is just okay, but good in other spots. I don't see how a team is good everywhere on the team is always overlooked, Jay Chris.
You know what? It's like you said, because they're not great at anything. They're just good in a lot of things, and you know, there's nowhere where you can point out and say, okay, they're gonna dominate that aspect of the game, or they're gonna dominate that aspect of the game. But when they get out there, they actually dominate certain aspects of the game. And that's what I said 2 weeks ago. I think the Skins have figured it out. I think they're hitting their stride. Detroit is a tough place to play for a field at time. But I think the Skins, like I said, they're hitting their stride. They figured it out. I think they win this game outright. That -1 is a sucker's bet. They win this game. Plus the over-under is 49. Skins win this game. They stop Detroit from scoring. I don't think Detroit scores 2 touchdowns in this game, personally. But I'm not giving you a score. I'm giving you a spread. Washington wins this game outright. So next on the docket, in Cincinnati, you have the Cleveland Browns Cincinnati against the Bengals. I'll start off with this one. I think the Bengals have been a little disappointing this year to me. It's a 10-point spread. Cincinnati's favored by 10. Can Cincinnati turn this thing around and figure it out? I think they'll beat Cleveland, but actually I'm going to, as I've done almost all year, I'm taking Cleveland to cover the 10 in this game. I wouldn't call that my upset of the week. Probably the Philly-Minnesota game is my upset of the week, but I'm taking Cleveland to cover the 10 in this game. Flip the coin. Chi-Town Corey, who you got?
As the resident Browns fan, I'm going to give them a little fan respect and say they're going to cover. The fan in me wants to say they're going to win, but I don't think they can keep up. I think
going back to my earlier kind of explanation, I think their defense is so much worse than the Bengals' offense. And then when you flip it, I think the Browns' offense is not consistent enough to do much against the Bengals' defense. So I'm going to take the Bengals to win. I'm going to pray as a fan that the Browns cover. But I don't have a score. I really honestly think it's going to be a blowout. So I'm talking out of one side of my neck saying I hope it's close, and the other side is going, it probably won't be within 20. But we'll see. We'll see.
Mr. Richmond, who you got in this one?
Ladies and gentlemen, as I call this team the Factory of Sadness, the Cleveland Browns, which they are, the Factory of Sadness is going to upset the Cincinnati Bengals, because I guarantee that the Cincinnati Bengals can't stop the run. So I don't think the running back of the Cleveland Browns is as good as, let's say, one Ezekiel Elliott. However, we've seen what they did against the Washington Redskins in the run game. These last few weeks, we've seen that they had pretty much some good success in the run game. So I've seen what Cincinnati did against a running back, against a good run game, and they suck. So because of that, I'm going to take Cleveland to win this game outright. It's going to be a close one. Nasty. I'm taking Cleveland to win this game outright. That's my upset of the week. So let me go ahead and put that one right there.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Ooh. Ooh. I like that. I like that. Knox, who you got?
Well, as also something I knew me and Corey had in common, being the longtime Cleveland Browns supporter fan that I have been since my Bernie Kosar days. I have also picked Cleveland all year to cover all year. Guess what, guys? They have covered every game they've been a part of except for two this year. And that was obviously the Philadelphia Eagles game, and then secondly would be the New England game. They will not only just cover this game, they will cover this game, they will cover this game. Cleveland is not the Factory of Sadness. All right, I'm lying. They really are. But I thought Mike was going to say, you know why? Because New Day rocks. And he didn't pull it out of the bag. So, but I really thought that was coming. He all hyped it up, had the little, you know, had it all up in him. No pause. But give me Cleveland in points.
Blind tag. I actually used a blind tag today. You picked Cleveland to cover against the Patriots?
You know what it was? I told you I thought that they would not. It was 14 points, dude. I thought it was 14
that was
points.
Brady. Wasn't that the game? That was the game Brady was coming back. You,
I know.
Okay.
I don't know what I thought.
I didn't think you picked that. I did.
Wow, okay. I picked them every game this year except for the Phillies game. I picked them to cover. I picked every game to cover but that one. And I've only been wrong in that two. I've only picked them wrong once all year, but I got to go.
All right. So, who's he picking that one? He picked Cleveland. Okay. All right. So, next on the docket, you got Buffalo -3 at Miami. This is a tough game for me.
It is.
This is a tough one. Chi-Town Corey, I'm gonna start with you because I'm gonna think about this one for a while. Marinate on it.
It's like you said. It's a tough call because you've got the situation with Shady. They fired their offensive coordinator. I can't recall his name. I think it started with a G. Can't remember his name. They fired Greg Roman. They fired Coach Roman, and it looked better last week. You keep waiting for the Dolphins to come around. You keep waiting for that high-priced defense to show you something. You keep waiting for Tannehill to get it together. At the same token, I don't trust Rex Ryan. It's so confusing. I'm going to take the Bills simply because they've been better consistently as a team than Miami. So I'm going to take the Bills to win outright. I don't know. I can't remember who you said had the points. But I'm going to take the Bills to win outright. Whatever the spread is, I think they'll cover it.
-3 this spread. 3 points this spread, excuse me.
Yeah, I think they'll cover that, yep.
Micah, what say you on this game?
It is going to be very tough to really pick Buffalo or Miami, especially since Miami is not really it's a team that I really don't care about. It's a team that that had high expectations, high hopes, and they just stink. Got a lot of high-paid players that do nothing. And Buffalo, you know, a Rex Ryan led team, just like what Corey said about Jeff Fisher. I'm trying to figure out how this guy just keeps finding work. Like, how does he keep getting jobs? You know, when I remember when the Buffalo LA Rams game, I was like, this is the overrated coaches bowl. I'm just trying to, you know, figure out how in the world these guys keep on getting what they get. But I've seen a difference in the change in the offensive mentality of Buffalo since they made the switch from Greg Roman. And honestly, I think they can do – they can't do everything like they will with Shady, but I think they can still get the job done. And so this 2.5, though, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. I think there's going to be more than that, and I still think that Buffalo is going to win this game. So you give me Buffalo and the points, even though it's probably going to be more than 2.5. 2.5, 3.
All right. Going by Knox's thing, it's a 3-point thing. 3-point spread, and I'm going with Buffalo to win this game by 2 touchdowns, actually. Just thinking about it. I know it's in Miami, distraction laden Miami for the young youth. Buffalo comes into this game and dominates. I think they win this game by 2 touchdowns. I'm going with Buffalo to win this game to cover that 3 points. And yeah, that's all there is to it. Plain and simple.
Right.
Oakland travels to Jacksonville. Jacksonville is favored in this game by 1 point. Oakland has done a lot of traveling to the East Coast this year, guys. Micah, I'm going to start with you. What say you? Jacksonville is actually favored in this game. What say you in this? Jacksonville at home -1 against Oakland.
This is just ridiculous. -1. Disrespectful to Jacksonville. Disrespectful to Oakland. This is going to be a knockout, drag-out game, just like it was last year. Probably even less defense played. So the 1 point actually may be kind of respectful to what kind of game they played last year. But honestly, while Actionville has been doing their thing, they've been playing everybody tough. They're playing good, hard, nasty football. Beat the tar out of my coach, as I knew they would. I'm going to go with Oakland in this one, and Oakland to win outright, and I don't believe it's going to be by that 1 point. I believe it's going to be more than that because Oakland has really been showing that they're going to be one of the teams to really look out for in the AFC. So Jacksonville's been doing fantastic. They're coming up. They're nasty. They're gritty. Got a lot of young talent, but this is going to be Oakland's game. They've been very good on the road this year.
Shout out, Corey. What say you?
Well, Jacksonville's defense has not played up to the standard that I think a lot of people thought they would. Oakland's defense has actually gotten better, which, I mean, I don't know if that's saying much because they were really bad defensively. But, they're, you know, Khalil Mack is starting to lay down his, you know, his legacy. He's starting to do what people thought he would do. Oakland is going to put up points, but I also think that Bortles gets back on track this week as far as putting up big numbers. You know, Bortles for the last couple of years has been a good fantasy quarterback, didn't necessarily translate to wins on paper and in real life. But I think this week both quarterbacks have great games. I think they both put up great numbers, but I think both defenses struggle. I think we're looking at an old-school high – scoring AFC, like the old school San Diego, Oakland games from back in the day. I think we're looking at both teams going into the mid to high 30s, low 40s. And if one doesn't, it's going to be Jacksonville. So I'm picking Oakland to win. I'm picking Oakland to win outright. And I think it'll be a high scoring game. But if one team doesn't score, it's going to be Jacksonville.
Ooh. All right. So mulling it over, you know, there's might just have that rule that, you know, West Coast teams coming east. You know how that is. Let me go back. Let me take a step back and let you know that Mike picked Miami to win that game against Buffalo, or at least to cover the 3 points. And he's also picking Oakland in this game as well. I'm also picking Oakland to win this game. I think they can. I actually think this game is going to be close. I really do. I really think this game is going to be close because I don't know what it is about Oakland. they just keep every game close this year for some reason. I'm not sure whether the team is better than them or the team is not as good as them. They've kept every game close for some reason. I think they win this game. They'll probably win this game by about 5, maybe 4 points. So the over under is 49. So that tells me that they think that it's going to be probably a low scoring game in a sense. I'm going with Oakland in this one. Plain and simple. Just give me Oakland in that one, and let's move on to this next one. Because in this next one we have, I'm going to go with Mr. Richmond last one because his team is in this game, so I like to do that. Tennessee at home, 2.5 against Indianapolis. I'm going to start this one out, and I'm just looking for, because I already know who I want to pick. I'm just looking for a good fancy word to say when I can't think of one. But I'm going to go ahead and pick Indianapolis in this one to go into Tennessee and beat the Tennessee Titans. I know, not a lot of people probably I think Indianapolis is going to win this game. They go into Tennessee. They beat the Titans. That's all there is to it. That's what I got. It's a 48.5 point over under on that one. Interesting to me, if you ask me. But Corey, who you got in this
one? Yeah. Not Tennessee.
Corey, you there?
Oh, okay.
Not Tennessee. I'm going to go with Indianapolis. Tennessee has turned themselves into a respectable team. They're getting their running game together. And I think when you're a quote-unquote bad team trying to get better, I think it starts that run game because it adds a little stability and it gives your defense a rest. And their defense has improved. But I think Oakland's going to go – I mean, I think Indianapolis is going to go ahead and take this win. I am going to – I can't – what did you say the spread was? I'm sorry.
2.5.
2.5 for who? Because I'm not real –
Tennessee.
Not real good
Tennessee favorite by 2.5.
Okay, so I say Indianapolis is going to win outright, and they will cover their spread out with the outright win.
And before you go, Mike, I'm just going to say that Mike has this as his lock of the week. He's picking Tennessee in this one. This is lock of the week. Micah, what you got?
Exactly, because as the resident Colts fan, my team stinks. We have bad thought process when it comes to coaching and time management. We have that guy who's supposed to be a defensive-minded coach, and we can't stop the cold, let alone some people who actually got good talent at the running back position. And guess what Tennessee has? Tennessee has good talent at the running back. Huh?
Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm
still. I didn't say anything.
Okay, just making sure. But they got good talent at the running back position. It sounded weird, but I hear some feedback. They got good talent at the running back position. So Tennessee is going to win this game, and that is – I have to agree with Mike's lock. They're going to win this game, and by three, it's going to make perfect sense. My quarterback is fantastic, but, we got four good players. Him, Adam Vinatieri, the punter, Pat McAfee, and occasionally T.Y. Hilton where he can get separation. That's
mm-hmm.
it. That's all I got. So Tennessee wins.
There you have it. That's the Colts fans saying it right there. Like I said, we're split on this one. Two of us have Tennessee. Two of us have Indianapolis. This next game is basically a pick 'em game, and this is a tough game to pick for me because I'm going to go ahead and go first because I haven't gone first in a while. So you got the New York Jets at home -1 against the Baltimore Ravens, and I've told y'all. Every last couple of weeks, I just don't think Baltimore is that good. I really don't. I don't think they're that good. But I also don't think the Jets are that good. So the fact that the Jets are favored in this game is just because they're the home team. I'm picking Baltimore in this game to pull this game out, to go into the Meadowlands and beat the Jets. They'll probably beat them by 3 or a touchdown. But that's how I got it. Michael, what say you on this one?
Oh, man, you, by three or a touchdown, it's going to be worse than that because the New York Jets, okay? And here's the reason why they stick, because they got a guy with a beard who had the audacity to pretend that he was a top-tier quarterback and that he deserved actual double-digit millions of dollars because other guys who are actually better than him were getting double-digit millions of dollars. That being Mr. Viking Man himself, Ryan Fitzpatrick. So since Ryan Fitzpatrick is a butt wipe when it comes to thinking that he gets paid millions of dollars and throws six interceptions in one game alone, yeah, Jets ain't winning this game. Washington's going to win, and they're definitely going to take advantage of all those turnovers that's going to be given to them by the hands of Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, yeah, and it's not going to be two. It's not going to be a touchdown. It's probably going to be at least 10 to 14 points.
Hmm. Corey, what say you on this one?
The prevailing theme here seems to be two words, quarterback play. And because of that, I mean, I don't know. Did they announce whether Geno Smith is going to start this week?
I haven't seen anything. I don't know.
Okay, I had read some rumors about it. But either way, I think when you're looking at the Jets, the only thing that they do consistently is inconsistencies. That's the only thing they do with consistency is being inconsistent on both sides of the ball. They're supposed to be a defensive team, but they really don't. You know, they're not really playing top-notch defense. Offensively, they can't get it going. Baltimore has found a revived running game with Terrence West. They fired the clown that used to be the Bears head coach as their offensive coordinator, and they've started to find some kind of idea of what they want to do from the offensive side of the ball. I'm taking Baltimore to cover, and I have to agree that it will be more than seven. I think they're going to put the Jets to sleep. I think they win by at least 10
Ooh.
Points.
He said, "Put him to sleep."
Yep. And by the way, it is confirmed, Corey. It is confirmed that you are correct. Geno Smith will be starting this Sunday against the Ravens. All the more reason why the Ravens are going to win.
I up my 10 points to 14 points. Geno Smith is good for a pick six, so I'm gonna raise that up to 14 points, two touchdowns.
There you have it. There you have it. Mike also had picked Baltimore to win this game. Neither one of these teams is that good. If I had a choice to not watch this game, I'm definitely not watching this game. I'm just putting it to you like that. I just will not watch this game. The next game on the docket would be a 4 o'clock game in Atlanta. Atlanta minus 6.5 against the San Diego Superchargers. I'm going to just put it right. I'm picking Atlanta in this game. I don't have much analysis. I'm picking Atlanta in this game. I've said it for the last 2 years. I don't believe in Phillip Rivers. I just don't because he's burnt me many times in the doggone fantasy league. Flip a coin, Michael. Who you got in this?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I believe in Phillip Rivers as a quarterback. He just never really had any – he never had anything around him. You know, he was one of those guys that was trying to do the most with the less.
True.
I mean, he's still giving you good seasons and stuff. It's just the fact that his team stinks. So, I wish he went to Tennessee. I wish he made that move. He would have had some semblance of a better squad. He definitely would have had a better run game. And, you know, he wouldn't have had half his team bit by the injury bug. Well, that being said, Atlanta's going to destroy San Diego. So, they're going to make Phillip Rivers' life live in heck. And so, 6.5 is lowballing it for what's going to happen to San Diego that weekend.
Corey, what you got?
I think Atlanta's going to win this flat out. Just to go back to my commentary about Blake Bortles being a better fantasy quarterback than he is a legit real-life quarterback, Phillip Rivers is another guy who fantasy-wise will give you some numbers, but when the chips are down, be it his fault or somebody else's, he does not get it done. I don't think neither one of these teams are really great defensively, but I trust the Atlanta Falcons defense more than the Chargers, and I trust the Falcons offense more than I trust the Chargers offense. Given that I've given Atlanta two out of the offense, defense, special teams, I'm taking Atlanta to cover. And I think if it becomes a shootout, San Diego won't be able to keep up with them because they just haven't shown the consistency, and they really haven't put any faith in their running game since Woodhead has gone down. Well, I shouldn't say faith in their running game because they really didn't have faith in, but they haven't really used their running backs with any consistency, and I don't think they can just pass all day and keep up with Atlanta. So I'm taking Atlanta big to cover the spread. I'm looking at, again, another double-figure victory here.
There you have it. Another 4 o'clock game. You have Tampa Bay traveling to the West, -2 at San Francisco. Corey, what you got in this one?
It's a tough game because I don't really trust anybody. But Carlos Hyde is out. Carlos Hyde is out of this game. I don't know if he's out, but they said there's a chance he could be out. Colin Kaepernick, you know, nice story. Want to see him do well, but I don't think his skills are up to par with our hopes and dreams and wishes for the young man. I'm taking Tampa Bay in this one, and they're going to cover the spread. I'll take them by 7, by a touchdown.
I like that. Micah, what you got?
Here's what's going down. Tampa Bay is going to win this game. It's going to be the guy who takes these for good causes, for the guy who quote-unquote, took crab legs for bad causes. So, Tampa Bay is going to win this game. I believe when it comes to quarterback play that Jameis Winston is better than Colin Kaepernick. And, that's pretty much all there is to it. this game. And it's going to be by more than 1 point because it just seems that unless Chip Kelly has a college team, his offense doesn't work on this level
at all.
Yeah. I mean, outside of that first game against the Redskins, his first pro game, it just hasn't really panned out. Like I said last week, you thought that this is the guy that Chip Kelly needed to run that offense, but the offense just doesn't work. So it probably doesn't matter who's going to run the offense. That being said, I'm taking Tampa Bay in this game. I think they'll win. I think they'll cover the 2 and defeat the San Francisco 49ers because the San Francisco 49ers just stink. They stink out loud. They stink with a capital STINNK. And they stink on PlayStation. So, I mean, it is what it is. I don't want Chip Kelly to win anything. I'd love to see Colin Kaepernick win somehow and Chip Kelly still lose, but I don't think that's possible. So I'm picking Tampa Bay every which way to win this game possible. New England -7 at Pittsburgh sans Ben Roethlisberger. Did I use that correctly? I hope I used that correctly. Mike, I'm going to start with you with this one because I'm a little torn and not torn, but I'll explain. But Micah, go ahead. What you think of this one?
I don't know why you're torn. This is obvious. With all Big Ben and his ability to actually extend plays to be able to put them in a position to win, they're going to stick. They're going to stick it up. Landry Jones ain't a proven winner. He's a serviceable backup, and he ain't proven to do anything. And New England. Bill Belichick is very, very good at cheating. Taking away whatever it is in their best state. And the best thing that Pittsburgh Steelers has for Landry Jones is Antonio Brown. They're going to take that away. He ain't going to have nobody else to throw to because that's the guy he's going to be looking for to get open every single time. So I expect New England to win. And while I like a touchdown to try to give the Pittsburgh Steelers some respect, it's going to be more than a touchdown. It just is. So sadly, because no Ben. So no Ben equals double-digit win.
Corey, what you got?
This isn't even really a debatable conversation. New England's going to win. New England's going to win big. Pittsburgh defense, their defense has struggled all year. And the one thing they had going for them was Big Ben, as earlier stated. They don't have Big Ben. And Landry Jones, even if he improved 100% from what he was last year, still isn't 60% of what Big Ben offers the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. They're going to double Antonio Brown early. They're going to make him use somebody else. And even if they do manage to score, I still don't think they can stop New England. So I think New England wins this one big, unfortunately for Pittsburgh fans.
This one is a battle of my my best 2 quarterbacks on my fantasy league team. However, of course, we know Ben Roethlisberger won't be playing. The 7 points is what bothers me, actually. I really think this is going to be a close game for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why my needle is heading me. My chakras are causing me to think that. But I'm going to go ahead and go with New England in this one. I know last year it was the opening game of the season. New England was able to pull it out by the skin of their teeth at the very end of the game. Of course, Ben Roethlisberger was playing in that game. You know what? I'm going for the upset. I just changed my mind. I'm going for the upset. Without Ben Roethlisberger, I think Pittsburgh covers the 7. They probably don't win, but I think they cover the 7 in this game. That's not where you should put your money, people. So don't go with me on that. I'm just going with a gut feeling on this one. I'm going with Pittsburgh in this one. It's a cover 7 at home against New England, against Touchdown Tommy and them.
What?
Our last game on the docket.
Yes, no, maybe so. No, I don't know.
Say it again.
Well, I was asking Mike Knox if you were smoking a little bit that they were going to cover that point, but I didn't know. So I put him in. I didn't know if he was going to say something tonight. So.
Well, I was just waiting for somebody to recognize the champ that runs the campus back in the building.
Yes, sir. That's why I asked. Oh boy.
I chose Tampa Bay, but. You know how, like, you go play your cards, and you go, I'm going to go play another card, and then you start messing up all the cards, so you start triple-thinking yourself? It's nothing about Pittsburgh to me, and I think Mike Tomlin doesn't get credit for his team competing when all his other players are missing, the way that we give credit, or credit is given, shall I say, to Bill Belichick. Tomlin has been able to mix and match quarterbacks. Big Ben has been hurt before, and this team continues to still win the ball games. I picked Tampa Bay. What's the spread on this game again, please? Somebody remind me.
7. Tampa Bay game. Tampa Bay game is minus two,
which means Pittsburgh's underdogs in this game. This game is in Tampa, correct?
No. Tampa minus two at San Francisco. New England minus 7 at Pittsburgh.
All right. As I should have done before I went to where I went to, I have it right here in front of me. I apologize for that, guys. I don't know why I asked that question. And so, yeah, Tampa Bay's over San Francisco. Give me Tampa Bay on that one. And I do have Tampa Bay with that one. And then we got Pittsburgh is playing against
New England
minus 7. Yeah, I'm sorry. Bill Belichick feasts on this team. It's something personal. It's something to him and this quiet rivalry between these two teams that don't get the hype of the other ones, like a Pittsburgh, Baltimore, don't get the hype of a New England with Indianapolis back in the day, wherever Tom Brady was playing, Peyton Manning, the guy who is noted as the greatest quarterback of all time that played in the weakest division in NFL history of all time. But that's a story for a different question. New England wins this game and covers the 7 points.
Last game of the show. Before we get out of here, we got to make it quick, guys. Arizona at home, minus 1.5 against Seattle. Mike, who you got?
Seattle.
Micah.
Seattle.
Shottown Corey.
Arizona.
I guess I got to make a pick. I don't know who I like in this game. I like Arizona at home.
Oh, we got one more game too, don't we have the Monday night game?
We'll do the Monday night game on Monday night.
We keep the people in suspense.
I gotta call in on Monday. They're chomping at the bit to know what we want to pick.
Go Cubs! Hey. Y'all need all your energy. All your hate. I take anything I can get.
I wish I had my computer up. I would just hit the mute button right now just for the sake of doing it.
Come on, No Sandwich Wiki. The WSOP can do it. Don't get a Chicago Cup. Let's go.
Take us out, Mike. Take us out.
Don't wake up tomorrow morning and say, I love me some me. And don't love God. I almost said the Cubs. And. See y'all next week, y'all. Fingers. Be safe.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
I'm a man.
I mean, listen, we talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
Good.
Straight cash, homie.
This is the Shoulder Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box.